With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details. Because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose, by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Asking Sean McDermott about running the table at home because the Bills hadn't lost at home in forever, and the idea of, you know, this, what, how great it would be to make this a Super Bowl season in the last year at Highmark Stadium. And it was just, as a matter of fact, the Bills were going to do all these, maybe not get to the Super Bowl part because Sean McDermott doesn't talk like that. But Sean McDermott did not avoid the question about running the table at home.
It's time now for Nuff Said with your host, Bob Koscinski. Bob's guest is the Buffalo Bills beat writer for The Athletic, Mr. Tim Graham.
Welcome back to Nuff Said with yours truly, and it's the holiday season, and we're back in the French Connection room here at Chef's Famous Restaurant. And I also want to do a shout-out to WEC Radio, who is a sponsor also of the Nuff Said podcast. I love WEC. I love Buddy Shula and Donnie Thomas Sewell and the boys out there. I love the tunes, and I can't wait till they start playing some Christmas music. But right now we have with us Tim Graham, who the beard shows he's been around Buffalo for a while. He certainly knows his stuff. He works for The Athletic. And Tim, thanks so much for being with us on this busy week.
I have gotten so many comments recently on the beard. I've had this beard for 5 years. And I think I obviously need a trim or something because people are noticing it now. Vic Carucci, we were in the press box for the most recent Bills game. And he said, Tim, I like the beard. And I said, I've had it for 5 years. But I also heard from Janine Talley. She was saying she liked the beard. Like I think I'm getting a little too.
I think you should go another inch or two because then you could play Santa and the month coming up would be the perfect time.
It took me 6 months to get it to this, so I don't know that I'll be able to get it in time for Santa. But
so, Tim, I know it's the holiday season. There's a lot to be thankful for. But right now, what do the Bills have to be thankful for? Because when you look at this season prior to it beginning, okay, last season at Highmark Stadium, oh, there's so many things planned for that. The Bills are favored in every single game on the schedule. It's been decided they have the easiest schedule in the NFL. I mean, it couldn't have gotten more perfect. And now we're sitting here after 11 games and, you know, the stadium's in ruins. The fans are ready to sell their personal seat licenses. I mean, how bad is it?
You just mentioned one of my favorite stats of the entire offseason and for the first part of the season, and I'd forgotten it because things have changed so much. The Bills were favored before the season began in every game on their schedule. They're the only team in the NFL. And here's another one I'll throw at you from a betting standpoint. I know sometimes people get sick of betting anecdotes, but for me, it shows the public confidence. It is probably the best because it's your money is based on it. You say, yeah, well, Vegas does this and Vegas does that. Well, no, it's based on the money that's coming in and the money that Vegas has mathematically predicted is going to come in. The Bills were the clearest favorite to win a division of the eight in the NFL. And here they are. I think now we'd look at it, we'd say it would be more miraculous than when they came back to catch the Miami Dolphins a couple of years ago. And that was out of this world. They're not, I don't think they're catching the Patriots. So where are they now? Yeah, it's, they're a playoff team. The Athletic and the New York Times has its computer calculator. I don't know what the heck it is. You know, it's the playoff predictor,
right?
What we call it. And they're at still at 80 some percent. But if they lose to the Steelers, it goes way down into the low 60s or high 50s. So it can fall apart quickly. They have the Steelers next. I don't see the Steelers as a pushover, even without Aaron Rodgers, if he's unable to play. They just got beat by Davis Mills. Davis Mills was able to do enough. Now, granted, the Texans have an elite defense, maybe the best defense in the entire NFL. But to go on the road into Pittsburgh, the Bills have proven that they can lose to anybody. And that should put a scare into any Bills fan.
Their losses to Atlanta, Miami, and now Houston, it's been the offense that's faltered, which is, to me, surprising because up to this point, Josh Allen and the offense have been clicking along. Now, I know that Brandon Bean was a bit upset heading into the season that people are criticizing them for not coming up with a number one receiver. And obviously, Keon Coleman has proven that at this stage of his career, he's not helping the team. So the defense has been pretty much decimated by injuries. Not so on the offense. Kincaid has been a miss. I mean, they miss him because he's the only guy that seems to be able to beat, you know, man-to-man coverage consistently. What's happened to the offense?
It is fascinating. And they are missing Dalton Kincaid, but they were missing him last year too. He missed chunks of last season. Everybody's pretty much the same. You know, yes, you subtract Mac Hollins, Amari Cooper, although he didn't produce on the stat sheet, made defenses guard against him. And that opened things up for the offense. So he was at least a threat. The Bills don't have a threat. And I mentioned this maybe a month ago and heading into the Chiefs game that I think it's getting to the point that defensive coordinators, as crazy and blasphemous as this might sound, are going into games saying, let's make Josh Allen beat us. The reigning MVP, maybe the most dangerous dual threat quarterback in NFL history. I mean, we could argue that. Was it Cam Newton? Was it Randall Cunningham? I don't know. Fran Tarkenton, I guess you could say, guys who could do it with their legs. But Josh Allen, I think even statistically or by the eyeball test, you could say, I mean, this guy, it's just virtually impossible to stop. Well, he's been easy to stop this year, and that's because he doesn't have the help. The offensive line's intact. They didn't lose anybody there. It's all the same guys. They've not only the same, but they've remained healthy. I know that Spencer Brown hurt his shoulder the last game and looked awful at the end of that game because of it. But that's just a blip when you're talking about 11 games already. James Cook has had a great season. It has to be predictability, and defenses are able to see what's coming. And there are, you know, Joe Biscali at The Athletic has written several of these stories, and you take a look at the percentages. When James Cook's in the game, they're probably doing this. When Dalton Kincaid's in the game, they're probably doing this. When Jackson Hawes is in the game, they're probably doing this. There have been a lot of stories about the mesh concepts on that they have their receivers running their different route patterns and how easy that's become to decipher. So I had written a couple of weeks ago regarding Brian Daboll being fired by the New York Giants. Bring him home. You know, the West Seneca kid, bring him home. And I know that there was probably some, you know, a lot has been made of the friction between he and Sean over his departure. And even while he was here, Sean was not afraid to be critical of Brian Daboll's decisions in post-game news conferences. But just a fresh set of eyes, just a spark. Josh Allen loved playing for Brian Daboll, and there are some games where Josh Allen has that 1,000-yard stare. The Miami game, the Atlanta game, you mentioned he's chirping at Mitchell Trubisky on the sideline. What are we doing? You know, the cameras catch him here being frustrated. So, you know, I'm not saying that Brian Daboll is going to happen. Maybe it's an impossibility based on the personalities, or Brian Daboll might just want to sit out the next few months re-energize himself. But something's needed, and there's nobody on the staff, like when Joe Brady was underneath Ken Dorsey, there's really nobody on the staff that can step up and has been groomed or has done the role before to a significant degree.
You know, I look at last year's offense, and yeah, they had Cooper, but they also had Mac Hollins, who I'm sure he wanted to stay in Buffalo. Bean did not want to pay him what he wanted. He's done very well for the Patriots. He's become that guy for the Patriots. And for a guy who really wasn't known as a threat, as a receiver, up till he got to Buffalo, he had some very big plays for the Bills downfield. Bills just don't have that.
Led them in touchdown receptions, which is kind of crazy.
The Bills just don't have that. And you know, I'm going to say it. I'm going to, you know, swear in church. I think Josh Allen is a half step off of where he was. I don't know why he doesn't, to me, look as escapable as he has in the past. Certainly against Houston, he ran himself around in circles. I think, you know, the Patriots showed that you can play this team man coverage and not get burned as long as you've got a spy who's athletic enough to keep his eye on Allen. And teams have copied. I mean, it's a herd mentality of the NFL. If it weren't for you, I'm going to try it for me. So the offense is not going to get better. They're not going to add anybody. I mean, if Kincaid comes back, that will definitely help. I don't know where Palmer was the last game. And I want to bring this up.
He's running that lateral play. Did something.
That you know what? I'm glad you brought it.
It's amazing crazy to get the guy involved.
That play should have ignited the victory, right? That should have been the play. In the past, they would have been so jacked up that Allen would have absolutely scored. They would have worked the clock down, given up hardly no time left for Houston. But anyway,
that's the type of play that breaks an opponent's will.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the Bills, and this was a line I used in my column, because they had come in with a attack mentality, a herd or a pack. You know, they were on the attack. They were talking about coyotes and gazelles, or whatever they were, wolves. And there was actually a buffalo thing that D'Amico Ryans had put up in one of the meeting, a buffalo surrounded by a bunch of wolves or coyotes or something, to get like, let's all yank a piece of Josh Allen off and gnaw on it practically.
Well, they did.
And they did.
Yeah.
But it's the Bills are supposed to be that team. The Bills are the team that when the Pittsburgh Steelers play renegade in their own stadium, Brian Daboll says, we're going to chuck it. Here we go. We're going to shove it up. You know, sorry. Sorry, Louis and everybody.
I almost.
The FCC doesn't monitor this broadcast.
I almost swore. You swore in church. I almost swore at a bar. That mentality is gone. That, like, let's have fun. Let's throw it to Deion Dawkins just to rub it in. Let's run up the score. Now, they haven't really been but that was what Brian Daboll brought, and it was fun. And sometimes you'd look at it and be like, well, man, should Josh Allen even be in the game at this point? I'm talking, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. But they were having fun. They don't look like they're having fun anymore.
No. So in the Hard Knocks HBO production this summer, one line from Joe Brady, for whatever reason, always stuck in my head. And that was, he was showing the receivers, and he said, this is a Joe Brady route. You're not getting the football, but there's a reason why you're running that route. Now, you hear that, so you start to watch video on this team, and you realize at some point, perhaps, this is speculation at my point, okay, receiver X, he's not getting the ball. He never gets the ball on this route. Keep an eye on him, but you don't have to, you know what I mean? Now,
human nature.
It's possible that – so Brady knew the cameras were in there. So I don't know. But I hear stuff like that, and it's obvious that Allen is not finding guys. They're running routes. They're not open, or at least they don't expect to get the football, which you would have thought would have changed on this team, because Allen could – when Allen starts to buy himself time, he can hit anybody on the other side of the sticks. So Josh Allen – And it was nice that I think it was nice for him to get his number retired in Wyoming and kind of cleanse himself from that Houston game. I'm surprised he wasn't all bandaged up and looked like the mummy when they had him out there on the field because he got hit 12 times. And I got to tell you what, looking at those replays, the offensive line, I'm sure you didn't miss this. How many times did these guys, after the initial block and now Allen scrambling, they just put their arms out like, well, I'll try to get in your way. You know, you can hit them a second time.
Bouncers at the the club. And 12 times that he was hit while throwing. There's also the times where he was running.
Right.
And that's the one where he ended up hurt and put the scare into the Bills fan base when he got caught from behind. That was actually a run hit in which he just got engulfed and dropped onto his left shoulder. And the way he was kicking his legs there and writhing around on the ground, you thought, well, geez, he's done for the game.
Yeah.
If not longer. But the guy's a warrior. And that's, you know, thankfully for the Bills that he is that way. But yeah, he took a beating. He took a beating that game.
So they're going into Pittsburgh. What are you hearing on Aaron Rodgers?
Nothing. In fact, I was just in Pittsburgh. I've been absorbing a lot of the talk regarding him. It's a wrist, obviously, non-throwing wrist. Mason Rudolph played a pretty good game against the Chicago Bears. Now, the Bears come back and win the game. You know, the Steelers are in a weird spot. They may need, and the AFC North is in a weird place because of what happened with Baltimore. And now Baltimore's, are they still favored? I think they are to win the division, despite that hole that they dug themselves and Lamar Jackson being hurt a lot. But the Steelers are still very much alive for a chance to win the AFC North. And so they're going to probably want Aaron Rodgers back ASAP. And a game against the Bills, maybe they thought they could get through Chicago, but you have the Bills now. I don't know if that pushes Aaron Rodgers back. I think that there's a relationship between Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen, too, competitively. Aaron Rodgers was one of Josh Allen's guys growing up. You know, he had the little model of Lambeau Field on his dresser or on one of his shelves as a kid. I remember his father telling me going into that game at Lambeau Field, Josh Allen, I think it was his rookie year. I mean, this was his guy. Even more so than the others, even than Tom Brady. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers reciprocates in that regard and feels a little extra motivated, if there's still competitive juice left in Aaron Rodgers, I think that he knows he's got to get back and play for these guys.
You look at Pittsburgh, you look at Cincinnati, you look at Baltimore. I mean, Baltimore looks like the team right now who's going to pull it out at the end. They're back in action. They're the Baltimore Ravens. Driving on the way here to do this, you know, you hear the national guys talking about, has a Super Bowl window closed on the Buffalo Bills? I don't hear anybody say that about Baltimore. I mean, they were hosting the AFC Championship game 2 years ago and should have been in the Super Bowl, and they haven't been back. They've got Lamar Jackson, but you don't hear the same kind of rhetoric about Jackson and Baltimore. I think it's maybe because everybody's put Josh Allen and the Bills so high on the podium. They just thought this was like, okay, we were wrong. As long as you got number 17 in your lineup, I don't see a window closing on this team. You may have a different coach. You may have a different general manager. But we've seen in the past teams, we've seen Peyton Manning.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Go from one organization to another. Well, of course, that wouldn't be good for the Bills if Josh Allen left. But, you know, my point is, as long as you got the quarterback. I see this team as losing at least three more games on the schedule based on how they play. They play much worse on the road than they do at home. Your take?
Well, I was looking at the schedule just a couple of days ago. Excuse me. Pittsburgh. I know that the Bills, I think, are a three-point favorite, but that to me seems like a toss-up. I don't think that Pittsburgh's any worse than Houston as a in totality.
Right.
Obviously, Houston's defense, I mean, otherworldly.
outlier, that type of thing. Cleveland, Shedeur Sanders is in there. That's a wild card. I mean, that could be a total annihilation. I mean, the Bills could just go in there and destroy him. Maybe Shedeur Sanders has a spark. The Browns have a really good defense, of course. Miles Garrett is probably looking at what the Texans just did to Josh Allen.
He might get his hand on Allen's uniform a few times.
Yeah. The Eagles. Joe Burrow's coming back for the Bengals.
Yeah, I fear the Bengals with Burrow as quarterback.
It really comes to where we have six games left. So that's four of them. We have the Jets. Okay, give them a win there. Give the Bills a win there. And what's the other one?
The Patriots.
Yeah.
The Patriots.
Yeah, I don't see them beat New England at New England. And New England's coming off a bye week.
Yes, that's another tough one. The Bills certainly aren't going to win the AFC East. And I think we're looking at if they make the playoffs or not. We're also looking at the resale value for your Jets tickets in week 18 going up, because that looks like it's going to be the last game in the current
stadium. Yeah, the stadium.
So if you want to close out that stadium and you were factoring in, well, that's the game where Josh Allen, makes his ceremonial start to keep his streak alive.
Right.
And then you empty the benches for the Jets because everything's locked up. Not so much. I mean, they might need that game to get into the playoffs, but that's probably the last game as it's looking right now at Highmark Stadium, which is a shocker. I recall earlier in the season, I'd have to go back and look and see exactly whether it was maybe 2 weeks in or 3 weeks in. John Morrow of the Associated Press, who I sit next to in the media room, and he wasn't the only one. There had been other forms of this question being asked. We're asking Sean McDermott about running the table at home, because the Bills hadn't lost at home in forever. And the idea of, how great it would be to make this a Super Bowl season in the last year of Highmark Stadium. And it was just, as a matter of fact, the Bills were going to do all these, maybe not get to the Super Bowl part, because Sean McDermott doesn't talk like that. But Sean McDermott did not avoid the question about running the table at home. He actually answered it. It wasn't like, well, one game at a time, or, that's too far off in the future. He was like, yeah, that would be something if we could pull that off. And now it's unfathomable.
I look at Sean McDermott and I look at Brandon Bean, and obviously they're doing a lot of head scratching. Now, it's different for Bean because, he says, we hear stories that he tried to bring in a receiver, right? He tried to bring in, what's his name from Miami? He didn't want to give up the second.
Jalen Waddle.
Didn't want to give up the second first round pick.
Quentin Williams, a defensive tackle from the Jets.
Yeah.
I had a good source tell me that there was a possibility of Deebo Samuel. I don't know. That doesn't do much for anybody, but there was at least another receiver. I'm sure he was pulling at all kinds of threads around the entire NFL.
So that's the question. Why was there not a sense of urgency to make that move, that a team like the Rams has done in the past, to say, you know what, it's put up or shut up. If we think we're this good, we have to finish the job. And we're gonna ransom the future a bit to be good right now. Why do you think that didn't happen? And do you think ownership was a part of that?
When it comes to the Bills, unlike the Sabres, I believe that the Bills have autonomy from Terry Pegula. When I say the Bills, I'm talking about Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott. He trusts those guys to do it. They have done it. They've proven they could do it. And he lets them do it. That's the culture. It was that was agreed upon when Sean McDermott took the job. And it's unfolded in such a positive way that that's the way it is, as far as that's my understanding. Sabres, it's different. And the Sabres, Terry owns two teams. And he wants to at least enjoy being the owner of one, right? So, of course, he's getting and the Sabres are his. Everybody calls that his baby, which everybody says, well, finish the metaphor there, but putting it in the basket and getting caught in the reeds down the river or whatever other one you want to use.
Is that what you guys tell me?
Biblical. Yeah, I was biblical with my metaphor.
When you're having coffee in the writer's room, is that the kind of stuff you talk about?
Usually I save those for myself. I want to keep that in a story. I don't want to share it. But yeah, you could get a little more gruesome if you wanted. But the sense of urgency, as you put it, I'm not so sure they weren't urgent. I think you, again, it's it takes two to tango and all the different sayings that get used when you can't get the job done. You get boxed out sometimes. They waited too long. Perhaps it was arrogance in the beginning of we have what we need and everybody else, you know, just giving the finger to everybody who thought or was going to criticize that they didn't have everything they need. My story, my season preview story that ran the week of the opener was about Josh Allen, the monolith, and the reason that he won the MVP last year, even though his stats weren't quite as good as Lamar Jackson's. You could debate.
Yeah.
But the reason he got the votes for that, while Lamar Jackson was the first team All-Pro, was because he didn't have help. He got the Bills subtracted from his arsenal, and he thrived. No Stephon Diggs, no Gabriel Davis. You know, there were some others. No Mitch Morse, the captain, you know, all these people. Whereas Lamar Jackson, they added Derrick Henry. They added to him. So he's this monolith. And there was this trap of this being is that he is just going to be able to do it all. And I interviewed, various people who were saying, you can't bank on this guy to do it all. Carmen Policy was the main voice in that article. Carmen Policy, the former San Francisco 49ers executive who oversaw, you know, Joe Montana and Steve Young and all these guys, and then went to the rebirth of the Cleveland Browns under that. His son now running the Green Bay Packers. So, I mean, this guy's plugged in and he's seen it and he knows it. And he's like, it's great that this guy won the MVP because he can do it all. You don't want him to do it all. He's not supposed to do it all. And it becomes, it erodes him as a player. You know, obviously he's not taking 12 quarterback hits a game, but he's taken hits. We haven't seen him hurdling anybody this year. At some point, Josh Allen can't do those things that have made him Superman. And he needs to get, he's going to get a little bit less in terms of the mobility. To your point earlier, he's going to lose a couple miles per hour off of his arm. Maybe that's the last thing that goes, but things do start to whittle.
Right.
And you need the game-changing receiver. And as part of that story, I took a look at think of all the Hall of Fame quarterback. I think we can look at Josh Allen and say, this is a Hall of Fame quarterback. How many Hall of Fame quarterbacks did not have Hall of Fame teammates? It is super rare.
Right.
You're looking at maybe like, I wish I had read the story or went back and revisited. I think Len Dawson is one of them. But most of them have Hall of Fame running backs, Hall of Fame receivers, Hall of Fame offensive linemen. And I'm not even really including defense. I mean, but that obviously helps. Tom Brady, for a while there, it looked like he was only going to have one Hall of Fame teammate. He was winning Super Bowls, and the other Hall of Fame teammate would have been Adam Vinatieri, your Hall of Fame kicker. Well, if Tyler Bass makes that kick against the Chiefs a couple of years, you know, there's all kinds. If your kicker was better, maybe. Get you over that hump. Get you the Super Bowl. Who's his Hall of Fame receiver? Who's his Hall of Fame running back? I mean, maybe somebody eventually, but he's about to be 30. You know, Peyton Manning, when he was on the doorstep and couldn't get it done until he was 31 years old, I think it was, he still had Marvin Harrison and Edgerrin James and Reggie Wayne and Jeff Saturday. And, you know, there's probably a Dallas Clark. You know, he had Hall of Fame caliber teammates around. Where's Josh Allen's? So, yes, it's Brandon Bean does deserve to be able to stick his chest out for getting the quarterback right. But when it comes to how he's handling the receivers or handling the defense, I think it is a tad arrogant to say, hey, look at you. You guys at WGR doubted, you know, you wanted Josh Rosen. I got Josh Allen. Maybe I know a little something about football. Okay, well, that card's been played. You know, that card is dog-eared, needs to be thrown out of the deck. We need a new deck of cards here because that card is worn out. So let's start hitting on some of these other picks. Let's start developing. So that goes to the coaching staff, too. I'm not eliminating them. Let's start. Kyir Elam just got cut from his second team and cleared waivers. Maybe that wasn't coaching. You know, so, or maybe it was. Maybe now two different staffs have been unable to develop this high round talent, and now no other team wants him. It's Josh Allen. I guess that's my long winded way of saying Josh Allen needs help.
which is why we sit down here. Okay, we just say, Joe
Allen needs help. All right, thanks for watching, everybody.
Right, nobody knew that.
Now, I've talked about this a number of times because I think that the franchise has driven home with Josh Allen and everybody else in that locker room. He is the franchise. He doesn't play in the preseason. We don't want him running the ball during the regular season. Everything is saving him for the playoffs. I mean, he's Joey Bosa, but he's the quarterback. Well, they were supposed to save Joey Bosa, but I don't know if this guy will have anything left for the playoffs because he's playing. It seems like he's playing every almost.
They need him.
Yeah.
That's why they signed Shaq Lawson.
Yeah. Well, somebody to give him a breather. But I think when Allen sits on that bench and he's not playing 110%, he's looking around like, oh, man, it's all on me. It's all on me. And that's why I said that last year, that AFC loss in the championship, you know, Kincaid wasn't an easy catch, but he doesn't make that catch in his arms. Allen doesn't have other players that bail him out like some of the great all-time quarterbacks. I mean, you look at Terry Bradshaw in the Super Bowl, Len Swan with the acrobatic. I mean, who does Allen have? You know, a couple of years ago, Diggs here at the stadium against the Chiefs, he drops the ball, would have been a touchdown to give instead, and then Bass misses the field goal on the same drive. You can go on and look at the big games. 13-second game. He did everything he could do. Defense wasn't there. The defensive coaches weren't there. So time and time again, this guy is like, if I don't do it, nobody else is going to do it.
Josh Allen has all-time great, I mean, I'm not saying across the board, but top five, top 10 statistics for in the postseason. So there is the rejoinder of, yeah, but there have been times when the Bills have had the ball in their hands at the end of the game and didn't get it done. Well, true. But the defense has been the problem, or special teams in the case of 13 seconds combo, 13 seconds and defense, or special teams and defense. Yeah, he's done about it all he can do. He doesn't turn the ball over. All the big knock on him for the first few years of his career was he's a turnover machine. And I think that if you were to say Josh Allen in the playoffs, well, he chokes. Or I mean, these are what you would come to mind. He chokes. He turns the ball over. He's overwhelmed by the moment. He gets hurt, puts himself in harm's way and gets hurt. None of that is true. It's all of that is 180 degrees the other way. He becomes more efficient. He has one of the
in the playoffs.
Yes, he has one of the highest completion percentage in postseason playoff history. He has the best interception rate in NFL postseason history. His touchdown percentage, his yards, and then the running aspect of it. I'm not even including that. There's some other stats mixed in there too that are at an all. His passer rating. His passer rating might be top three, something like that in the postseason. So. Yeah, what more do you want the guy to do? I mean, he won MVP, and again, I reiterate, he won MVP last year because he was doing it by himself, right. And people acknowledge that. And the Bills doubled down on that. And you take a look at some of the analysis from after the game on Thursday night, in which this Texans pass rush was in the backfield like nobody's business. And the Bills just insisted on, well, we're just going to block you with five guys. We're not going to chip. We're not going to leave. We won't put in extra help. It's just going to be our five guys against your pass rush. And the reason being is, again, that's the knock on the Bills' approach with Josh Allen is Josh will make the first guy miss. Josh can run around, and we're going to get extra guys out there in the pass routes.
We're going to make you pay for.
Yeah. Josh will you'll miss Josh.
Right.
Well, they did for the first. They had one sack in the first half. I mean, take a look. You hear eight sacks.
Yeah.
So that's seven in two quarters. I mean, it was the most yards lost on sacks since Joe Ferguson in 1984. And then before that, you'd have to go back to the LBJ administration. It was Dan Dara. And Jack Kemp had it happen. Other than that,
You don't lose 70 yards of 70 yards worth of sacks.
Well, I got to wrap this up, but I want to throw one last thing in there because I can't. It was obvious that fourth quarter Spencer Brown was playing with one arm.
Yeah.
How was he not replaced until the very last drive of the game? How was somebody else not saying, you know what, this guy, he can't play? And credit to him, he didn't take himself out of the game.
Players are never going to do that.
Somebody should have seen that off, you know, earlier in the game. But if and buts for candy and nuts, we'd all have a happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, you were supposed to say Merry Christmas because the lights came on just as you said that.
It was a holiday miracle. Tim, thanks so much for coming on. I want to wish you a good Thanksgiving. You don't have to be on the road. The Bills aren't playing. I assume you can enjoy the holiday at some point. Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. And I want to thank you so much for being on. I want to wish everybody a very happy Thanksgiving. I want to thank all our friends here at Chefs and, of course, WEC Radio. And until next week, have yourselves a good night and a much better tomorrow.